Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey now, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 55. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude!
Dude, we're a week past the beginning of free agency, and there is a lot of Sharks free agent news.
There is. Actually, dude, I have breaking news here on my iPod.
Okay.
I do.
That's an iPhone, dude. Not an iPod.
Dude?
Dude, okay, go ahead.
You're interrupting the breaking news.
Excuse me.
The Sharks have done nothing.
The Sharks have done nothing. I have that written down right here. I have a big blank right on my piece of paper. Sharks have done precisely squat.
No, they resigned Ryan Clough.
They did.
4-year deal, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And as we reported live, those of the listeners who heard last week, Mike completely
oversold
the Huskins deal.
Yeah, a little bit.
Got me so excited.
I was trying to create a little drama, as the Canadians
would say. I heard from many people this last week that was their favorite breaking live on tape delay news. And that my reaction, like a little girl getting so excited that maybe we had gotten something good.
Yeah.
And maybe we did get something good. I don't want to, you know, totally hose Kent Huskins here.
No,
we haven't
true.
Seen him play, but.
No, he hadn't.
Dude, overall, I got to say, not much going on.
Not a lot going on. The breaking news of the day is that the Sharks did not get Jonas Gustafsson, which we accurately predicted that we would go to Toronto. So.
Yeah, that was the longest anticlimactic moment
right.
for me.
Yeah.
That was pretty obvious, I thought.
Yeah, I think so too. So he's gone. Like you said, we signed Clough. Torrey Mitchell and Brad Staubitz are not filing for arbitration. So that means they're probably pretty close to a deal.
Right.
So.
But they have no leverage, really. I mean, Torrey Mitchell, go to arbitration. What's he going to say? I looked good in a couple playoff games, even though I missed the whole year.
Right.
With two major leg injuries, I would like a raise.
Yeah, that's not going to
happen. I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
I could see him signing just a 1-year deal because he's going to continue to be restricted.
I think so.
So a 1-year deal probably for Mitchell on both sides, because I would think Doug Wilson's probably like, you're important to this team, but mm-hmm. can you play a full season?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and he's going to want to prove himself. And
sure,
and not
and Staubitz hasn't. You know, Staubitz played 40 games in the NHL, so you know he's not going to arbitration
for fourth line minutes. I mean, he's not going to get much more than the minimum.
No. 1-year deal for Staubitz probably too, huh?
Yeah,
don't
I
you
think so.
Too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably for Greiss too. Although maybe Greiss they might lock up for security reasons, based on the you know if Nabokov walks, then at least you know you have Greiss under contract.
I guess that's true. I don't know if he would still be restricted next year. That's the question I don't have the answer to at the moment.
I don't know.
He might be. I think he's still pretty young. So, and I don't think you can be unrestricted until you're about 27 years old, and I don't think he's that old.
I think he was only on his first deal, which was like a 3-year deal.
Right, your entry-level deal.
So I still think maybe they'll just go year to year with him.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Could happen.
No, and this is thrilling, I'm sure, for the listeners
yeah.
to be talking about arbitration and 1-year deals and restricted free agency. Dude,
yeah.
You know what else we still don't have?
What's that?
We still don't have an assistant coach, dude.
That's true. I mean, maybe Doug Wilson is preaching being careful, and he's actually in Barbados right now sipping Mai Tais.
Watching the madness unfold in front of him on TSN.
It could, yeah.
I guess. You know, to his credit,
mm-hmm.
I think he didn't get involved in the sort of free agent madness that happened in the first 2 days
mm-hmm.
where people were throwing around, you know, ungodly sums of money to people who just really, you know, don't deserve, you know, Brian Gionta didn't deserve a raise,
mm-hmm.
you know. What the hell is Montreal doing, dude?
I don't know. We got to save that for late in the show.
God.
There could be a long and extended rant about Montreal.
I think that they're going to dye the entire team blue and call them the Smurfs.
It's very possible.
Wow. Wow.
Another person we haven't heard anything about is Travis Moat.
No.
So we know nothing about what's going on with him. I don't know.
To me, that means he's not coming back.
Yeah.
I would think it would have happened by now that either there's disinterest on Doug Wilson's part, or maybe he just put a deal out there and said, look, we're willing to go here. But looking at what people are getting, like, you know, Todd Marchant signed today for 2 years, 1.1 or 1.2 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mullen going to get more than that?
Not much more.
He's probably not. I don't think he will get more than that. So, you know, what does this guy think his value is?
I'm not sure. I mean, wasn't Marchand on the second line for a good piece?
Yeah, and he murdered us.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he completely killed us.
Yeah.
So it seems like these second, third line guys are getting, you know, in the low $1 million range.
Well, it, you know, it
depends. Well, I mean, role players.
Yeah.
These role players. Sorry, that's second, true. Third line guys, not fair. These role players, like Moen, they're signing for like $1 million. Well, unless your name is Chris Neal.
Yeah. How did Chris Neal get $2 million a year out of Ottawa? That I do not. I mean, the guy doesn't score.
He's got dirty pictures of Brian Murray.
Maybe he does. I mean, that seriously looks like extortion. He said he wanted out, and then he signs a pretty ridiculous four-year deal, $2 million per. Seems way too much. I'm glad the Sharks didn't get him for that money. That would have been ridiculous.
No way. And you know, some people have been saying to me, well, what happened to Chris Neal? But they weren't willing to go there? No.
No.
No, they weren't. I'm sure the term was a problem, and I think the money was a problem. Chris Neal's worth about $1.5 million max. Because he really hasn't demonstrated that he has the scoring touch that he had earlier in his career.
Right.
So I would have liked to have seen him in teal, but you know, so far, some of the players that we've targeted, Ian LaPerriere, gone.
Yeah.
Chris Neal, gone. Beauchemin,
gone.
I mean, and Beauchemin, that's a lot of money for Beauchemin.
That's a lot of money for Beauchemin.
So far, the players that we kind of earmarked in free agency and via trade have either gone somewhere else or are still sitting out there, you know, to be had. But Doug Wilson is buying his sweet time. Now, EJ Raddick said on NHL Live, which unfortunately is now on hiatus.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
what
over?
Will I do without my Deb Plessy?
I don't know, dude. I know.
Although,
you love Deb
Plessy. Don LaGreca came in for the last day, dude.
Good.
It was very magical.
I'm gonna have to watch it then because
he actually listed the Sharks as a winner so far in the off season because
they didn't do anything.
They haven't gotten involved in this garbage.
Right.
They've abstained. So what do you mean? What do you make of that, dude?
It sounds good. And it's consistent with what we thought would happen, right?
Right.
And Sharks fans, those of you, quote unquote, in the know, knew that Doug Wilson wasn't going to do all this crap. We weren't going to go out and sign Gabrick for $7.5 million for 5 years like the Rangers did. We weren't going to throw $1 billion at the Sedins or at Martin Havlat. This is the way Doug Wilson rolls. This is the way he's always rolled. And so for those of you who are very frustrated, and believe me, it's hard not to be frustrated at this time.
Sure.
Because you see these teams make all these moves. You know, we can talk.
People are getting better.
We'll talk about the Pronger deal later. We'll talk about the Smith deal later. We'll talk about all this stuff. And the Sharks are just sitting here and nothing happens. And you say to yourself, what? You know, who's passing us by? Right? You got to think, hey, Chicago passed us by, right?
Kings got a hell of a lot better.
They got better with Smith. So it's tricky. But the other shoe to drop is the second theme of our show today. First theme being nothing happened. Very slow. Second theme is we are in cap hell, and we have an email to that effect. So my friend Jeremy emails us and he says, can you recap how you see the Sharks getting out of cap hell? As of July 7th, and according to NHL numbers, they have 16 roster players and 1.8 million in cap space. Even with minimum salaries, they cannot fill out a roster. That doesn't seem to put them in a position of bargaining strength. Will it come to dumping Cheech for a fourth rounder, an interdivision trade of Ehrhoff for Erzberg? And next summer isn't looking any better. 9 players already eating up over $35 million of what could be a $50 million cap. So, that's the second part of the show. What are the Sharks going to do to get out of this cap hell?
Now I'm depressed.
Well, we are months away from hockey, dude. It's time to be depressed.
Dude, been saying this for a while. I think that there is a major trade coming, like some sort of roster altering deal that we have no clue what it is, because Doug Wilson is never, I mean, the moves he makes, it's rarely in the rumor mill.
That's right.
And it's something that it's not even on our radar, even as speculating, which we'll do a little speculating in a little bit, but it's something we probably don't even know about. I think that he is probably looking to move some players that he has committed salary to beyond this year. The players like Mahalik, Erhoff, these names, you know, together, that's almost $8 million in cap room. So if you can move them from this year's cap and future caps, you're clearing up some space here. Now, are you going to get equal return at lower salary? That's hard.
Probably not. No.
It's hard.
I don't think so.
I mean, his point of giving away Chichu for a fourth rounder, gosh, I mean, I would like to think that Doug Wilson isn't going to get painted into a corner like that, but dude, do you think he's got a point? Are we at a leverage disadvantage now?
I think so. Sure. I think so. 1D definitely has to go. I mean, everybody on earth knows that the Sharks have seven defensemen signed, all of which are making over $1.5 million next year. That's not smart. That's just not as... that's why I, you know, the Huskins thing just makes me shake my head. I just don't understand that. Why aren't we waiting until after we make the next deal for Huskins? Was Huskins really being pursued by a bunch of people? I guess it's possible.
Maybe. Possible.
I think...
You know, I don't know. I think that it's not very satisfying for us to sit here and say, well, something's going to happen, but we really don't know.
Yeah.
But I really think that that's true. That yeah. There's just no way when you look at the roster, it's so incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the, there's an overload of the same type of player lurking around on the roster that, you know, I think two of these defensemen are gone.
I think it's
two
possible,
guys
sure.
have got to be gone. And it could be, you know, that you have to trade one that you aren't really that excited about moving in order to get a piece back in return. I mean, maybe you do have to trade Vlasic to get a Kessel back. You know, maybe, you know, if you're going to move parts around that you have to give to get, you're not just going to rip somebody off every time. He can't pull a Joe Thornton trade every time. So the D, it's just not complete. There's, I think two of those guys are going to be gone because I got to think that Moore or Jocelyn is going to make the team.
Yeah,
right, dude?
I think it's possible. I think at least one D. I'm not sure two are definitely going to go. I think one is definitely going to go. There's no doubt about it. But this is what I think the Sharks could very well do. And
This is what you were teasing me with before.
I was teasing you with it before.
Here we go.
I mean, this isn't not super exciting. I mean, this isn't, I don't want to build it up like I did last week.
Come on.
But I think and I'm looking specifically at Jonathan Chichu because I think he's a guy that has a contract that is not very movable. You know, here's a guy, didn't score a lot of goals last year. He's making $3 million for another few years. That's a contract that people may not be willing to commit to. And I think we might see Kyle MacLaren too in Jonathan Chichu.
Ooh.
That's my guess. That's my prediction. I think that is something that maybe the Sharks are holding in their hip pocket.
Wow.
Kyle MacLaren made $2.5 million in the minors last year. Is it really that far of a stretch to go to $3 million and put Chichu down there? Take the money off the cap?
Wow, that would be...
I'm not saying that's what they want to do, but I'm saying that could be in the thought process of this is what we, you know, this is a way we can get out of this trouble.
Yeah, I mean, that could be the last ditch resort, I guess.
That's a get out of jail.
That sounds just so unappealing to me. And also, look, you know, this would be the second time that Doug Wilson's going to do this.
Yeah, I know.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to really stunt that their huge crop of free agents who want to sign here, dude.
Mm-hmm.
All the those overwhelming guys. Response.
All of those guys. That want to
well,
come
gosh, dude, I really hope you're wrong because I think that fans would have a real big problem with that.
Yeah, that's
true. I think teammates would have a real big problem with that. I think the locker room, there would be significant unrest if a very popular, by all accounts, player like Chichu is sent to Siberia, you know?
Because
they need to clear space. An interesting theory.
I guess they could waive him. Well, I mean, they have to waive him to send him down.
Yeah. Well, gosh. I mean, I would like to think that if they really thought that this was going to be where they'd have to go, that maybe they would just would have bought him out.
Yeah, I don't know.
We didn't buy anybody out.
No. No, we didn't.
So, you know, guys like Jody Shelley, Chichu, guys who you thought maybe might be on the buyout scale. Do you really think Chichu has no value? It's $3 million a year.
I don't know. I mean, I wonder why it hasn't happened yet if he really did, right?
Well, why hasn't anything happened?
Or maybe
yet?
Doug Wilson's like playing this like the stock market, right? I mean, this is a market in a very real sense. I mean, there are hundreds of issues in financial terms that we call players out there. Maybe Doug Wilson is waiting for the market to crash. I mean, we went through the bubble on July 1st. Maybe Doug Wilson's waiting for the market crash, and we can get better value when these guys who are trying to get players, they can't.
And we see what happened with the LA Kings. They were reportedly in on Havlat. They were in on Gabrick. They struck out on both.
Well, they got Smith.
Well, now that they were forced to trade for Smith.
Right.
And they gave up a piece in Kyle Quincy that I'm sure that really hurt Dean Lombardi to do that, because Quincy was their, you know, their power play quarterback.
Really their best defenseman.
And he's restricted and making $0.5 million.
Yeah.
That guy was a freaking bargain.
Yeah, that's a huge asset for that amount of money.
And so now they took on a bunch of money and they, you know, they got rid of pricing, which has turned out to be a terrible contract.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to give up a major asset in Quincy as far as affordability and production. So,
yep.
Maybe you're right. Doug Wilson's holding on to some of these guys and the teams that missed out on some of the free agents, they might get a little desperate.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I'm looking at this list of guys that James Merle posted on his blog of the best free agents left. Number one is Miroslav Shatan. I mean, we're not talking all-stars here.
No.
Robert Lang. Manny Malhotra is number three.
Now,
Peter Sikora.
Now, that's a name that maybe we're going to get back to him.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Manny Malhotra.
All
because
right.
I was on the radio last weekend. My co-host Chaitin brought up Manny Malhotra. That's a name I wasn't thinking about at the time, but that's a name that is a third-line guy. You think of a stereotypical third-line guy, and that's not a knock on Manny Malhotra. I mean, this is a guy that can kill penalties. He can take a good face-off. He's physical.
He had like 38 points last year.
Yeah. I mean,
he can produce. He played well in a defensive system.
And he plays hard. He plays physical. I mean, this is a guy that you would want on your team. I don't know why Manny Malhotra isn't signed. Maybe he's asking for too much. Maybe he wants to re-sign with Columbus. Who knows?
Well, I think with Paulson going to Columbus, his spot is gone.
That's right. Paulson's an upgrade over Malhotra. Agreed.
So, you know, Manny Malhotra, maybe he's on the radar of Doug Wilson. I hope so, because those are the spots that are so blatantly open and void right now.
Mm-hmm.
Those third and fourth line. I mean, we really don't have a third and fourth line right now.
That's right.
We don't. We have Mitchell, who you're assuming is coming back. Staubitz is coming back. Jody Shelley. And then three roster spots that really anyone can have.
Mm-hmm. Malhotra would be...
He'd be fantastic.
You know, he's the guy that... I mean, he's your Max Talbot. He's your third-line guy that you need to do the right things at the right times. I mean, you can't just win with three great guys and the rest scrubs. And maybe I'm segueing into the Heatley discussion now, because this is something that's been going on over the past week, because David Pollock reported that maybe the Sharks weren't completely out of the Heatley sweepstakes, and maybe they're still involved. And that sparked a pretty good discussion on the blog in the comments section about, in a post we did about Heatley. And some people say, we need Heatley. This is a guy that you got to have. He's an elite talent. And then other people say, well, you know, one, he's got this character issue, right? And two, you can't just win with elite players. How do you come down on this side of the argument, dude?
I think if you trade for Danny Heatley, that's Doug Wilson pushing all his chips in. And if the Sharks, it doesn't work out, Doug Wilson's job is officially on the line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a all-in move. It could work out to be Heatley raising the cup, mm-hmm. and everybody rejoicing because Thornton and Heatley had like 3,000 points or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, the new, you know, golden boys of the league. Or he could completely self-destruct, and the assets that we had to trade to get rid of him just weakened our team even more. So I don't know, dude. I don't think it's going to happen based on Doug Wilson's not looking to bring in a character flaw.
Yeah, I think it's true. And about what we've been talking about up till now, and that the cap problem, you know,
unless you're moving parts like we already brought up, Mahalik and Erhoff, where now basically you just, you're in the same situation.
But you can't do a 2-for-1 because we already need to sign 4 guys and $1.5 million. So now we need to sign 5 guys for $1.5 million. That doesn't
You've got players like Jocelyn and Moore ready to move up. So you wouldn't be signing, but they're still not on the cap as of right now.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's creating a bigger problem by trading roster players. You'd almost need Ottawa to take more money back.
Yeah, they have to. And I don't think they got a lot of room.
No.
I don't think they have room. So,
it's not a good match. Not a good match.
They have, basically, my thing is, for this to even partially work, they have to take Marleau for one.
But why would you move Marleau when he's coming off the books at the end of the year? I think you're moving players that, you know, Nabokov and Marleau are the two players right now that I think you're not trading. Because you're going to lose their, if the team goes bust, you let them walk and you've got $12 million in cap space to play with. So you know, those guys, I think, are precious commodities. You got to be blown away to take. So you're going to trade Marleau and then take a long-term commitment of more salary from Heatley? I don't think that's going to happen. You trade guys who you're dissatisfied with, like maybe Mahalik. You're not happy with how he's been playing. You're stuck with him till 2022, you know, and not that long. I know with the Hossa deal, it's possible to be signed that long, but I think he's signed till 2014.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So you move him, you move, you know, the same guys we've been talking about that are signed a little bit more long term that have been disappointing.
I know. We're starved for news, Sharks fans. We just... Oh.
I just don't... Heatley, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to stick to that.
I'm going to stick to it, too, because the character thing is an issue, right? That's an issue. We don't need another one of those. The salary cap is a huge issue. You don't want to screw the team for 5 years so you can get this guy. I mean, Joe has only got 2 more years, including this next season, and then you got Heatley for 3 more years after that. I mean, in theory, the Sharks could be rebuilding after Joe leaves if they can't replace him. You know, do you really want Heatley and on the books for this?
No.
Dude,
so now we're kind of speculating a little bit.
We're really speculating.
Let's get into a little bit of speculation here. Let's look at some teams that might be a good match with the Sharks.
Okay.
And some players that maybe in return. Now, you know, talking about Chicago a little bit. Now, I know we're a little bit of a difference of opinion on how the Blackhawks have fared this offseason.
Yeah. I mean, they signed a bunch of guys. You know, the more I think about it, and everybody writes, oh, well, you know, Kane and Taves and Keith are all going to be restricted next year. And to me, you know, that sort of sounds like a problem, but I don't really think it is, to be honest. I think they're restricted. They're still going to be around. You give them a qualifying offer and they come back. What's the problem?
Well, in the San Jose Sharks mold, and the Detroit mold, I mean, if they're going to be team guys and take less money than they could, you know, but if someone gets a big ego, and you know these guys have another great year, and they make them that qualifying offer of, you know, $3.5 million, and Jonathan Toews is like, excuse me, I'm sorry, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, I don't want it. I don't want to do it.
And then he starts tweeting.
Yeah. You know, I expect Brian Burke to visit me in Sweden.
Exactly.
And you know, I know the price to pay for those guys restricted if you were to offer them mega cash is, you know, a large amount of first round picks and the money.
Yeah.
But for a franchise player like Toews, you know, some Looney Tune might do it.
Only Keith would be eligible for arbitration.
Well,
also.
But that's a huge piece to their puzzle.
Yeah.
So, talking about the Chicago Blackhawks and a little bit of the mess that they've gotten themselves in now with not handling their restricted free agent offers, qualifying offers correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me toss something out here.
Okay.
Marleau, who we talked about as someone coming off the books. Okay. Now I'm almost going back on my previous statement.
Yeah.
Marleau to the Blackhawks, which, you know, they're in salary cap problems. It would be a 1 year thing for them. For Stieg to the Sharks. For Stieg would not be making the $6 million that Marleau would be making.
Certainly.
You could probably sign for Stieg to about, I mean, you know, $3 million. I mean, you know, $3 million for Stieg. Someone was saying $5 million. I mean, you're crazy. That's
Wouldn't he get Klo money, though?
No.
You don't think?
Well, he played 1 year.
Okay.
1 year. I mean, this guy, you know, he'd be in, like, you know, didn't he have a similar type year to like Joe Pavelski his first year? And Pavelski signed a 2-year deal for 1.6 each year.
That's true.
Now, this guy is two to three. We get Versteeg about half the price for Marlow, dude. What do you say?
I'd do it.
Yeah.
I think I'd do it.
Put him on the second line with Pavelski.
Yeah.
A little undersized, but pesky. That guy's got a motor. He plays hard.
Mm-hmm.
Can score clutch goals. Kills penalties. I mean, I had him on my fantasy team. He scores shorties.
Yeah, yeah.
I would love that deal, and maybe that's something that would clear long-term salary for the Hawks. So maybe Talon and Wilson, buddies.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll strike a little deal here, dude. Maybe.
Maybe.
Scale of 1 to 10, what do you give that on a probability?
I give it under a 5.
Dude, that's not bad, actually,
It's not bad for pure speculation. It's well under a 5 because I don't think they're going to want to get rid of Versteeg.
No, probably not. But Patrick Marleau makes them... I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. But Marleau would have to waive the no trade as well.
He might.
Which,
if you go to Chicago, he might. Might.
He could play with Brian Campbell again.
Hi, Brian. Is my room ready?
That's Joe. Actually, you know, the team that I was thinking is a team that you brought up before. Why not Nashville still? They still need forwards. Milan Mihalić, right? Maybe we don't look for a NHL defenseman now. We don't look for Ryan Suter. We look for Kevin Klein and a pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Then we get $4 million off the books. We get a top-quality defensive prospect that we don't have to put on the roster this year because we got so many defensemen. We put him in, we get, you know, send him to Worcester, take a good pick, second round pick, something like that, and or third round. I don't know, you know, where that would all fit, but that might be a way to get rid of salary and still get the future looking okay.
Yeah, we might even be looking at it now as I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head. I mean, they've got the money, the room to take on more. Now, with their whole situation, they might not be looking to do it. But even if we took young players from them, like you said, and we gave them even two NHL, you know, like Mihalić and Ehrhoff.
Or Mihalić and Chichu.
You know, for...
A first round.
For a first round pick and a highly rated defensive prospect. Now, they're in a little bit of a, you know, their strength got taken away a little bit. They lost Zanin. They lost Koistinen.
Yeah.
To unrestricted free agency, and they didn't sign anybody to replace him. So, I think I would give that, you know, the equal, I'd say 5 on the probability radar. I mean, and Doug Wilson almost in anti-Sharks form would then have 2 first-round picks.
Yeah.
One he could play with at the deadline, which he's made really clear, dude, that... You know, he says every time now, he's like, this team will not be finished until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Not very good.
That maybe we might be rolling in like this.
Yeah.
That this might be it.
Yeah. We're going to roll into the season with Chichu in the minors and, you know, and Riley Armstrong taking his spot.
Riley Armstrong is gone. Dude.
Okay.
He signed with Calgary.
Then Corey LaRose, not Chad LaRose, Corey LaRose, no relation.
Yeah, that's, you know, another player. Chad LaRose, he signed back with Carolina for not much. I mean, that's a guy, if Travis Moen thinks he's going to get more money than, you know, Chad LaRose, who had a huge year last year.
Yeah, he's mistaken.
He's probably, you know, maybe Moen will come crawling back for... not much. I mean, he didn't even make a mil, I think, last year. So maybe he gets 1.1 over 2 years or something. Maybe he comes back. I don't know. But certainly, I think the key clue that obviously this is not finished is the salary cap hell.
Yeah, and 7 defensemen.
This is still a very much incomplete work in progress.
I know we thought that something was going to happen by now, but I guess Wilson.
Dude, I lost that bet. I'll be paying up that beer at the blue. The teal and white game.
That's right. That's right. And I guess we'll have to wait a little longer, Sharks fans. Let's get to the shootout where there's plenty of signings and things to talk about. First of all, Kovalev signs with Ottawa. Hello.
Good. I hope he puts his locker right next to Heatley for a little pep talk. They could pump each other up.
Yeah. For what? Pump each other up for a terrible year. Brian Murray.
It could be so much worse. Like, when you think about, as Sharks fans, We could be Ottawa Senators fans.
Yeah.
They've got nothing to look forward to right now.
Yeah, it's like Spezza's making too much money. Nobody likes him. They want to trade him. Alfredson's great, but he's 37 or 38. Right. I mean, he's an awesome player and a guy you can get behind, but he's on the twilight of his career. Heatley, you want to get out of town because he wants to be traded.
So then you bring in Kovalev, who got sent home because he was so bad.
And so they might lose first line scoring. They already don't have any second or third line scoring at all. They got Volchenkov and Phillips on the blue line. I mean, Ottawa's
bad. They have Chris Campoli, dude.
Chris, I stand corrected. Okay.
They're in big trouble. That they're going to... I don't know how Brian Murray still has a job.
He won't after this year.
I don't know.
Second story, I have to go back on what I said about the Chris Pronger trade because Chris Pronger signed a 7-year, $35 million extension with the Flyers today.
Was I right, dude?
You were right.
Thank you, dude.
And I was wrong. I had forgotten, I didn't think that the Flyers would use the other thing that they got in the Pronger trade, which is the ability to negotiate with Pronger for an extra year. And I thought they wouldn't avail themselves of that. I thought they would just play Pronger and then re-sign him next year. Nope. They renegotiate with him right away. Great move by the Flyers. $5 million a year for Chris Pronger.
Amazing.
That is amazing. He's making $500,000 more than Scott freaking Hannon. I mean, that is awesome. Awesome deal for the Flyers now. I think it's a good deal for both teams now. I mean, Anaheim lost salary. They got some good young pieces, and now the Flyers are ready to beat up the rest of the Eastern Conference for the next 7 years.
If they can keep that team together and they can all stay alive and no one goes to prison,
yeah, they're contenders.
They are legitimate contenders. If Ray Emery doesn't totally implode,
that's the big question.
That is a team that is going to be in contention, dude. Next trip we go to Vegas before the season. I'm putting money on the Flyers to win the cup. I think Pittsburgh should be a little bit concerned.
They should be.
Because that's going to be a huge, huge rivalry now.
Huge.
Huge, dude. That's huge.
All right. Ryan Smith traded to the Kings. We mentioned it earlier in the show. For, you know, that's a good deal for the Kings, man.
Sure.
That's a real good deal.
We talked a little bit about, I think, off the air about Smith to the Sharks, which I would have liked that move. I think he could have been... You know, McClellan's Thomas Holmstrom, a very expensive Thomas
Holmstrom.
Very
expensive.
Standing in front of the net, but the guy brings intangible. He's a leader. Everybody loves him. He's good in the community.
Cries at the drop of a hat.
He could have cried every time we lost. He would have been great to have on the team. Obviously, the Avs probably weren't willing to take back the salary that we would have had to have given back in return to make it work. I just wonder how some of these moves, like, was Doug Wilson ever in on this Ryan Smith business or probably not?
I think not, because that cap hit's just too much. And we've already talked all episode about how the Sharks are in cap hell. You don't want to be paying that guy six and a half? That's a lot of money. Okay, last one. Havlat to the Minnesota Wild, which now rejuvenated, right? New coach?
Yeah, I mean, okay. So, you know, Todd Richards has like one toy to play with now. It's not... He's got Mikko Koivu.
What about Saku Koivu?
He's unsigned.
I know, but don't you think he's going?
No, I don't know. I mean, I keep hearing maybe he's going to the Ducks, which I think could be wrong because of the Todd Marchant signing today. Although maybe you bump Marchant down. He's going to go play with his, you know, best buddy Solani.
Right. They can speak Finnish to each other.
Yeah, they could. Oh, Horsha Hurta Hurta Hurta.
That's the Swedish.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
I don't know what the Finnish is.
I don't know.
Like.
It's like this. Horsha Hurta Hurta Hurta.
So close.
Dude, I don't know. I mean, the Saku Koivu thing, I don't know what the, you know, is he going to be like the Niederbayers and play with his brother, or is he going to go play with his friend? Who knows? You know what, dude? Who cares?
That's why we're still podcasting, dude, because there's still lots of cool things, interesting stories to talk about, even during the summer months when there's no hockey to be played, and we'll be here all summer long at Dudes on Hockey.
So even when it's not interesting, it's interesting to us.
That's right. We'll find a way to make it interesting for you. Thanks for listening this week, everybody. You can catch us, our blog on the web at sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same place.
Listen to us next week when we have no Sharks news to report.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.